This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
It was a season that saw seeds planted by a legend bloom on the biggest stage possible.
I still think of 2004 as part of the healing from 2001.
This has got to be the greatest day of my life.
A season that brought out the best.
We're right in the middle of this championship, so we'll just see what happens at Homestead.
And the worst.
And now they're tackling one another and a fight is on in the pit area.
While crowning a champion in the most suspenseful way.
We dodged a huge, huge, devastating proposition that would have taken us out of this championship.
A racing season that was one of the most impactful in the sport's history.
There's so much going on behind the scenes in 04, but the headlines that made the sport continue, I think will be 25 years from now when we're celebrating the 100th, somebody will look at a yardstick of our history and that'll 2004 is going to be on there.
Motor Racing Network welcomes you to NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. Hello, everybody. I'm Mike Bagley, and welcome to episode 4 of NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. In episode 3, we covered races 9 through 13 of the 2004 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series season, a stretch that included a controversial ending at Talladega, Jeff Gordon separating himself as a championship contender, and a winless streak of one of NASCAR's most respected drivers finally coming to an end. In this episode, we'll cover races 14 through 17 of the 2004 season, a stretch that includes tempers flaring in Pocono as one of NASCAR's greatest champions went to victory lane, a triumphant afternoon in the Irish Hills of Michigan for the Rocket Man, and a string of poles and victories for the Rainbow Warrior himself. We left off departing the Monster Mile at Dover International Speedway, where Mark Martin ended a 72-race winless streak. We began this episode at the Tricky Triangle in Pocono, Pennsylvania at Pocono Raceway. Coming off a disappointing finish at Dover, it was Casey Kane bouncing back the following week to lead the field to the green flag in the Pocono 500.
Green flag goes in the air. The Pocono 500 is underway. They have almost a 3/4 mile to race before they get to the first turn. Right now, we don't see any passing at the front of the field. Yes, we do as they swing into turn one.
Casey Kane inside line has the lead as they hit the banking in turn number one. Joe Nemechek took a peek to the outside for second. Nothing there. The challenge is for third. Jimmy Johnson down on the inside looking to the inside of Ryan Vickers.
Through 13 starts, Jimmy Johnson ended the afternoon in an advantageous points position, only looking up at Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the standings. Preparing for a restart with 27 laps to go, Johnson rocketed to the lead at Pocono.
Jimmy Johnson takes a look on the outside of Jeremy Mayfield for the lead in turn one.
We've seen it do it once before today. Let's see if he can do it again when the chips are all on the table. Jimmy Johnson on the outside lane powers around Jeremy Mayfield, and he takes the lead. Mayfield back to second as they exit turn number one.
Jimmy Johnson would continue to lead the next handful of laps, but he was in a battle for the lead with Jeremy Mayfield and Jamie McMurray heading down the Long Pond straightaway.
Nose to tail, race for the lead to the Long Pond straightaway. Here's Jimmy Johnson, Jamie McMurray. Actually, that's Jeremy Mayfield in, on the back bumper as he rides in the second position. Further back, some crowding going on. Terry Labonte to the bottom of the racetrack, squeezes around Robbie Gordon. They made contact there, and Jamie McMurray poised and ready to strike now as they exit turn two.
As McMurray tries to wait for the bobble up ahead, again, it is Jimmy Johnson and Jeremy Mayfield nose to tail. As a puff of smoke comes from Dale Jarrett's car, he's blown the motor. Jarrett has blown the motor right in the middle of turn three.
UPS Ford goes up in a cloud of smoke. He was running in the fourth position. He gets off the racetrack, out of the way. No caution flag is displayed. We have 5 laps remaining. The leaders are in turn one.
And where a moment ago there were 4 contenders, now there are 3. It's Jimmy Johnson and Jeremy Mayfield, and Mayfield is there. Puts a wheel to the inside, but Jimmy Johnson, too strong, powers away off turn one.
Johnson Johnson bobbled off turn one, but that did not bobble, or he didn't bobble enough, that is, to allow McMurray, the inside, Mayfield, the inside lane. Single file, race for the lead now. Here's Jimmy Johnson across the tunnel turn. 1.5 car lengths ahead of Jeremy Mayfield off turn two.
Mayfield has been here twice before, running in the second spot at Pocono, and now he is here again, chasing down Jimmy Johnson as once again we are under caution.
Yellow flag comes out one more time. There may be some oil up in turn number three as they'll run back down to the caution flag here. There will be four laps remaining here at Pocono.
The trouble for Dale Jarrett turned out to be the least of every other driver's concerns that afternoon as the caution flag waved for a ton of oil that was dropped onto the racetrack. Drivers now waited to see if the remaining four laps would be raced under the caution or if there would be one final dash under the green. As they awaited the news, teams came down pit lane where Kevin Harvick and Matt Kenseth shared some paint.
Joe, we've just had another spin in turn three. It's Kevin Harvick again under pace lap speed. Kevin Harvick has the rear end come around on him. Everybody got on the binders, now goes to the outside. Casey Kane almost collected him. Kevin Harvick gets it pointed the right way, finds a gear and gets back going.
And obvious damage on Matt Kenseth's machine, Barney. Looks like they're just going to put on fresh tires. You know, last week it was Matt Kenseth who was one of the guys that was a victim of the oil that was dropped on the racetrack when Casey Mears went up in smoke late in the event at Dover. Similar situation today. He gets involved in a spin, probably related to the oil that was dropped from Dale Jarrett's machine. We did confirm it was an engine problem for Dale Jarrett. Looks like they wipe off the grill for Matt Kenseth, put on those four tires, and he will pull away. But the second consecutive week, it looked like Kenseth was on his way to a top 10, maybe a top 12 finish. And really, improbable problems late in the race put him on pit lane and out of contention.
That scuffle under the caution between Harvick and Kenseth would later bring both teams to a meeting with NASCAR officials following the race. As race fans anticipated the conclusion of the Pocono 500, it became apparent that the race would not be going back under the green and would end under caution, much to the dismay of those in the grandstands.
They'll get the white flag next time by, so apparently this race will end this way this afternoon. I mean, they may interpret the rules differently. The flagman actually has the white flag in his hand now, and as they continue to work under the caution flag, it appears this race will end under the caution flag today. It's been a heck of a day of racing, some outstanding action out there, a lot of damage to a lot of race cars. A lot of teams have wound up loading their cars on their trucks early this afternoon.
Feeling robbed of an entertaining finish, one fan threw a cooler at the flag stand, hitting the backup flag person. An embarrassing ending to what turned out to be the third win of the season for Jimmy Johnson. One driver who shared in that embarrassment was Jeff Gordon, who was none too pleased with the 11 cautions that flew that afternoon.
But I want to apologize to fans. That was absolutely uncalled for, what happened today. To run that many laps under caution and all the disputes on pit road, I'm embarrassed by it, and I want to apologize to them for that.
If there was one man happy at Pocono, it was Jimmy Johnson, whose third trip to Victory Lane vaulted him to the top of the point standings.
Well, Gatorade Victory Lane, he sprayed a bottle, now he's drinking a bottle. Jimmy Johnson, I tell you, a lot of times when you finish under caution, you think, man, you'd like to race again, but you had the dominant car all day long.
Yeah, we had a great race car, and this afternoon it was kind of crazy with the whole pit road incident that took place with the green flag coming out a lap before that it should. It had us off cycle and out of whack, and I was really afraid that we weren't going to be able to get back to where we needed to be and to win this race, but it all worked out, and I know the fans don't appreciate it finishing under caution at the end, but there's, you know, it's just how it is, and I'm not going to complain too much. This Los Monte Carlos in Victory Lane, we had the dominant car all day long. Fast race car, fast pit stops, fast driver, and we got the job done.
From the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series forged into the Irish Hills of Michigan to race at the Michigan International Speedway.
Green flag goes in the air. The DHL 400 is underway. Three Hendrick cars at the front of the field race to turn number one. Jeff Gordon tries to get out single file as he hits the corner.
Jeff Gordon earned the pole and dominated the first third of the race, leading the first 78 laps. But after regaining the lead on lap 87, Gordon found himself up in smoke.
Fire trouble extinguished. On the back straightaway. Jeff Gordon, big plume of smoke out of the DuPont Chevrolet. Gordon slows. He's off the pace.
Caution on the speedway for our Jeff Gordon having a problem. Let's go back to turn three.
Well, I see Ken Schrader off the pace also, Barney. Jeff Gordon midway down the back straightaway. A huge plume of smoke out of the back of the DuPont Chevrolet. He quickly turned it down, got it out of the racing groove, and he slowed suddenly here as he entered turn number three.
I think he had too much horsepower.
I'll tell you what, we've been talking about that all afternoon. He was so strong, and apparently maybe a little bit too strong. The DuPont Chevy has gone back to the NASCAR Nextel Cup Series garage.
With the top contender out for the rest of the afternoon, suddenly it was anyone's race. For the next 90 laps, a sextet of drivers, including Jimmy Johnson, Rusty Wallace, and Dale Jarrett, would take turns trading the lead. On lap 178, Ryan Newman emerged as the new leader.
Green flag goes back on the field. They race off to turn number one. They'll chase Dale Jarrett. Ryan Newman is the man doing the chasing, along with Elliott Sadler. They're the top three over in turn two.
Once again, lap cars on the bottom. It'll be Mark Martin and Casey Mears, the first two in the lap down line. It's not going to bother Ryan Newman for long. He immediately goes to the outside. He'll challenge Dale Jarrett for the lead.
Already one lap down, he fought back, and now he's battling for the lead. Ryan Newman, Dale Jarrett, wheel to wheel for the lead in Michigan. Jarrett down low. Newman trying to blast by on the top side.
Newman looks strong on the high side of the banking. DJ tries to hang on down low, but Dodge horsepower wins in this battle coming off turn four. Ryan Newman goes to the point.
DJ battled back to take the lead on lap 183, and then with 16 laps to go, it was a fierce battle for the lead between Dale Jarrett and Ryan Newman.
Door to door at the start-finish line. Dale Jarrett by half a car length. Ryan Newman goes back after him in turn one.
Dale Jarrett on the bottom. Ryan Newman up top, wheel to wheel, fender to fender as they race through the banking here at Michigan. Coming to turn number two, Ryan Newman with the advantage. Newman has the lead by a car length.
It is Dodge versus Ford, and this time off of turn number two, the advantage goes to the Dodge of Ryan Newman. In fact, he's going to stretch his advantage up to four, make it five, make it six car lengths.
From there, Ryan Newman, an eight-time winner in 2003 who was denied a chance at a championship under the previous points format, staked his first claim as a contender for the Nextel Cup in 2004.
Here comes the field off turn number four. The white flag is out. Ryan Newman shows the way. The race is going on for the second spot in turn one.
Ryan Newman all by himself. The battle will be for the runner-up position. It's Casey Kane on the outside. He powers past Dale Jarrett to take over second, but for the final time off turn number two, it's Ryan Newman with the lead. A little bit of a bobble as Kane tries to close in.
And Ryan Newman sets sail down the back straightaway. 1 mile away, Ryan Newman headed to victory lane. He's in three, but here comes Casey Kane.
Casey Kane works the high side of the banking. Can he chase down Ryan Newman and challenge for the lead? Off turn four, they come pouring back to the start-finish line. The yellow flag is out because a car is spinning in turn number two. At the start-finish line, Ryan Newman goes to victory lane after being down a lap early on this afternoon. His last victory, last October at the Kansas Speedway. He wins today at Michigan.
It is definitely named Gatorade Victory Lane for a reason. He's just gotten doused with it. A lot of places to go with this victory. First of all, when you had the overheating problem early, what'd you think?
I had to fight back. I want to thank all the fans for coming out. The fathers bringing their families on this Father's Day is really awesome. And, happy to get the Alto Dodge in victory lane. We had to fight hard for it. And we had a good race car. We just had to get it in the right position. And, with the 24 blowing up and the 48 having problems on restarts there, that helped us a lot. But, good day for us to get to victory lane and also for the points.
When we talked about it earlier today, we talked about horsepower and fuel mileage. Fuel mileage was not an issue, but that Penske horsepower was something else. Tell us about the pass for the win.
Yeah, a car was awesome on restarts, and I kept working my way around the outside and just had a great opportunity there to get around Dale Jarrett there, and he raced McLean, and happy to be in victory lane.
Jeff Gordon took no time washing away the disappointment from Michigan as he paced the way for 92 of the 110 laps run at Sonoma the following week. He picked up his third victory of the season and the second in his home state of California. Gordon would then be back on the pole for a third straight week as NASCAR celebrated Independence Day weekend at the World Center of Racing at Daytona International Speedway. Rain delayed the start of the race as NASCAR proceeded to start the Pepsi 400 under the caution flag until going green on lap 10.
Jeff Gordon and Michael Waltrip at the front of the field and 150,000 of their closest friends. The main grandstand packed, and Barney, nobody sitting down anticipating the green flag.
Been waiting for this for a long time this evening, and finally it's about to happen. We're going green flag racing, although we have run eight laps under the caution. The pace car gets ready to make the hard left-hand turn onto the pit lane. Up front, couple of Chevrolets, row two, couple of Fords, couple of Chevys on row number three. The Pepsi 400 about to get underway. Here's Barney Hall.
field comes down to the line. Green flag goes in the air a couple of hours late, and Jeff Gordon, Michael Waltrip rush off to turn number one.
In a race that was green for the final 80 laps, Gordon made it back-to-back-to-back Nextel Cup Series victories as he held off his Hendrick teammate in Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
One lap to go. They're out of turn four, heading down to the start-finish line. White flag will be waving this time. It is Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Earnhardt Jr., Kurt Busch, and Tony Stewart. But who's going to go to victory lane? They go to turn one.
Jeff Gordon with the lead. Goes to the outside, puts a slower car in the rearview mirror. Dale Earnhardt Jr. all over the back bumper of the second-place car of Jimmy Johnson. But Johnson holds him off. Here's Jeff Gordon off turn two for the final time.
So far, so good for Jeff Gordon. He comes to the super stretch with his teammate right in his rearview mirror. Dale Earnhardt Jr., not a factor. Here's Johnson looking high and looking low, looking for the lead, but Jeff Gordon leads back to turn three.
Everybody on their feet here at Daytona. Jeff Gordon leading Jimmy Johnson. Dale Earnhardt Jr. going third, going to try to make one last run, but it's Jeff Gordon off turn four.
Jeff Gordon started on the Bud pole tonight like he did last week at Infineon Raceway, and at the finish, he'll be up front like he did last week. Jeff Gordon wins the Pepsi 400.
Throughout Jeff Gordon's Hall of Fame career, he established the propensity to conserve his equipment during the grind of each Cup Series race. On that evening in Daytona, Gordon established that talent again. He spoke about how he was able to earn that reputation.
I think as a driver, right, your goal and your skill set is how do you adapt to the conditions? How do you adapt to the length of the race? You know, how do you help the team set up the car based on what you're feeling? And so whatever race car I was in, that's what I felt like your job was, you know, to make sure that you read it and you excelled at it and you gave great feedback. It took me a little while that season to understand the balance of the car, how to conserve things, what, you know, kind of things you needed to do to have the car ready to run that longer race or that long of stints for, you know, on fuel. Or a track like Rockingham, where the tires go away super fast, and how to conserve them. So, you know, to me, every track was different. Some tracks you didn't have to conserve. Sometimes you did. Back in the earlier 90s, you know, mid-90s when I came in, you kind of had to conserve your stuff. I mean, if you go back, right, there were times where they dropped the green. You didn't run as hard as you felt like you needed. You didn't even run as hard as you needed to the first half of the race. You would just say, okay, I'm in position here. I'm top five. I feel like I'm not abusing anything. I'm good. I'm content. And then second half the race, boom, let's go. And that changed. That evolved a lot over the year. I mean, these days, these guys, they're like qualifying laps from lap one to the final, you know, lap. So I think you race the conditions that you're faced with. And I felt like I got, you know, good at. Of course, I had great cars and great setups, and you know, so I'll certainly first start with that. But I do think that you know, I got really good at conserving things just because that's what the goal was, or that's what it took.
Gordon returned to victory lane for the second straight week after winning the Pepsi 400 from the pole position at Daytona International Speedway. Race proved an impressive showing for the entire Hendrick Nextel Cup fleet, with Jimmy Johnson clinching the runner-up position, Terry Labonte coming home in eighth, and rookie Brian Vickers recording a ninth-place finish.
Jeff, congratulations for the second consecutive week and for the fifth time at Daytona. You're celebrating in victory lane.
Wow, wow, wow. I tell you what, this is a big one. We had a lot of guys really challenging us. What an awesome effort by Hendrick Motorsports. All the Hendrick cars were so strong, and I owe this one to Jimmy Johnson. I mean, this team built an unbelievable race car, but he gave me a push that no one else out there would have ever given me. And I love working with him. I love racing with him and drafting with him. And the guy just gets it, you know. He just absolutely gets it. And next time, he's going to get a push from me, that's for sure. But what a big day for this DuPont Pepsi Chevrolet, you know. I can't thank DuPont enough for allowing Pepsi to come on board and do this Play for a Billion promotion. And, you know, it's a Pepsi 400. It's a special night. And we had a lot of those red cars gunning for us, so it's really awesome to finish ahead of them.
Gordon's triumph with his 68th Cup Series win, and with it became the first driver in NASCAR history to win from his 50th career pole. Departing Daytona, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, and 2003 series champion Matt Kenseth made up the top five in the point standings, with nine races remaining until the beginning of the chase. Next week on Episode 5, Our journey through 2004 continues with blood boiling in Chicagoland.
And the crew chief Tommy Baldwin Jr. for Casey Kane has made his way down and is on the war wagon in the face of Tony Stewart's crew chief Greg Zappadelli. Crew members pushing and shoving as NASCAR officials get between one another, and now they're tackling one another, and a fight is on in the garage area, in the pit area. The crew members from both sides getting involved. Bobby Labonte's crew coming over. They were pitted nearby teammate Tony Stewart, pushing and shoving in the pit area here at Chicagoland Speedway.
Until then, I'm Mike Bagley. For all of us here at the Motor Racing Network, thank you so much for joining us on NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.